Well, as the Democratic presidential candidates stream into New Hampshire, some are putting their spin on how they did in Iowa last night. Here's Elizabeth Warren apparently referring to Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg.
Here's what we know. It's a tight three-way race at the top. We know that the three of us will be dividing up most of the delegates coming out of Iowa. I'm feeling good.
Joining us now is Josh Rogers, who covers politics for New Hampshire Public Radio. Hi, Josh.
Good to be here.
So today marks the beginning of what is expected to be a frantic week of campaigning.
Yes.
But of course, the big question is what the lack of the complete results in Iowa will mean for candidates in New Hampshire.
You know, a lot of this is going to be about perception until the results come in. New Hampshire rarely follows Iowa in lockstep. It's actually, I think it's been 16 years since the same Democrat carried Iowa and New Hampshire, who wasn't an incumbent. That was John Kerry. Pete Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, and Elizabeth Warren have all been polling pretty strong in New Hampshire. Sanders, the strongest. I think he's led pretty much every poll taken this year. And obviously, he carried the state almost 2-1 over Hillary Clinton. But, you know, a lot can change. And, you know, obviously, Buttigieg and others, Klobuchar last night when she took the stage in Iowa,
yep,
said, you know, it's clear we're punching above our weight. And, you know, it's elections are about results and also the perceptions about results. So once we get the results, it'll be easier to see how successful candidates will be in crafting the perception. But, you know, voters here are bracing themselves for what's going to be a busy week.
Let's talk a little bit about Joe Biden. Limited results from Iowa show that he is not the top candidate, at least for now. Here he was in Iowa last night.
More indications going to be close. We're going to walk out of here with our share of delegates. We don't know exactly what it is yet, but we feel good about where we are. And look, so it's on to New Hampshire.
You mentioned, Josh, that Biden has been polling strong in New Hampshire. Is it a must win for him?
Well, I guess we'll see what happens out of Iowa. I mean, the indications were that he was certainly not in the top two or three candidates. His campaign has long been based on, you know, kind of a national vision and being strong in the South and some of the later voting states. You know, in New Hampshire, he has pulled relatively strongly. He certainly is well known. He has a lot of older political members of the establishment supporting him. But you go to Biden events and you find lots of voters who say they like Joe Biden. They like the idea of Joe Biden. But they're often also quick to turn and say they have doubts about, you know, Joe Biden's capacity to do the job as well as he might. And, you know, a weak result in Iowa could mean bad things for him here.
Yeah. You mentioned Bernie Sanders showing strength there in New Hampshire. I'm also thinking about Elizabeth Warren and her numbers there. But at this point, it's looking like Sanders, as you mentioned, will do pretty well there. Can you explain more about the sentiment and the support for Sanders?
Well, I think it's hard to underestimate the fact that Bernie Sanders did so well 4 years ago. And while Elizabeth Warren in the fall really seemed to be gaining ground and, you know, colleagues of mine did reporting on voters who had voted for Sanders 4 years ago but who were really leaning Warren this time. And, you know, that seems to have reversed. You know, a lot of the Sanders people are much more diehard in terms of kind of it's Sanders or no one anecdotally that you talk to when you go to Sanders events. You know, we'll see a lot of the party and its platform has kind of drifted in Sanders' direction from 4 years ago. And a lot of young voters are particularly excited by Sanders. Although, you know, again, it's a very fluid situation and
yeah,
Elizabeth Warren could still run quite strong here.
Yeah. Can we talk very quickly about some of the other contenders? You mentioned Amy Klobuchar. She had that line about how she's punching above her weight. Is that true in New Hampshire? I'm also thinking about Andrew Yang, Tulsi Gabbard, who actually moved to New Hampshire.
Yes.
And has staked everything on her results there. And then Tom Steyer, who we don't talk a lot about, but I just wonder
but
about his
standing there
as well.
But he lives in every mailbox in New Hampshire. I mean, the amount of campaign mail that he's dropped in the state is vast. And, you know, you don't find many hardcore Steyer supporters out there among the voters when you go to events. But you do find a lot of people who, you know, say they're potentially open for voting for somebody other than the candidate they're mostly predisposed towards. And, you know, Amy Klobuchar is someone who, you know, maybe she does need a strong result in Iowa to build momentum. But she's an interesting case in that she's done what you are allegedly supposed to do to win New Hampshire. She's built connections over the years with local politicians. She's sort of centrist, incremental, trying to work with independents and reaching out to moderate Republicans. So it'll be interesting to watch for her. And, you know, Tulsi Gabbard and Andrew Yang are both interesting in the coalitions that they've built. You know, I'm not expecting either one of them to, you know, make huge gains here. But, you know, again, it's wide open. We'll see. But one thing I'm keeping an eye on is where they might pull support from. Does it does it get pulled out of Sanders's pile or elsewhere?
Yep. That's Josh Rogers. He covers politics for New Hampshire Public Radio. Josh, thank you.
You're welcome.
And you're listening to Here and Now.